Good morning. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I ask you to take my words and our thoughts and make them a spirit of generosity and insight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. My name's Piers Coutts, and I'm a licensed lay minister here, and I'm also the church treasurer, which is a combination which will be relevant to the talk that you're going to hear this morning. More of that anon. If any of you are just visiting today or are new to us, I make an initial apology. We are not one of those churches that bangs on about money the whole time. This is the one time of the year, so you've just been very lucky if you've just popped in today to get the money talk. Well, you'll probably have spotted what the topic was from the readings we've just heard. The subject of money appears regularly in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. The Old Testament requirement to be generous to those who have no other support, specifically their widows and orphans, is one such theme. Another is the need to recognize God's authority over our money, particularly in supporting those, in that case the Levites and priests, who organize the regular worship. In this context, the principle of giving a tenth or a tithe of one's produce appears early on in Genesis 14 and later becomes part of the law of Moses. So the commands to be responsible in the use of our money and to be generous to those in need are very much part of the Old Testament tradition. However, today I want to look at what the New Testament has to say on this matter. So let's start by seeing what Jesus had to say. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is classic Jesus. He doesn't get bogged down in detailed rules about what we should and should not do. He goes straight to the root of the matter. Where is your heart's true home? Is it in your money, your jewelry, your pension, or your property? Just look what happens to them when markets collapse, banks fail, and flood or war comes. It's all gone. 10 years ago, you could have been building a successful business, happily settled with your family into a fine house on the hill above Aleppo. And now, through no fault of your own, you and your family are fleeing for your lives, risking death in an open boat across the Mediterranean, having to hand over your remaining savings to some crook just to smuggle you into another country. There are just as many moths, vermin, and thieves around today as there were in Jesus' time. Jesus goes on. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Or as Princess Leia said to Han Solo, if money is all you love, then that's what you'll receive. Sorry, there has to be one Star Wars reference somewhere. In one way, Jesus' teaching is imprecise. He doesn't tell us do this or do that, but in practice, his message is stark. Get your heart, your priorities sorted out, and you can work out the details later. That's Jesus' view of the matter. Now, as we say in some of our art services, let us hear also what St. Paul says. Here's some practical advice to the Christians in Corinth. Remember this, says Paul, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. The context here is of a particular financial gift being made by one group of Christians to another group. Throughout chapters 8 and 9 of this letter, and do have a look at the whole passage if you have the time, Paul emphasizes that such generosity must be spontaneous, It must be unforced, and that it flows from and is evidence of people's experience of God's love to them. Once again, the heart comes first. As they have learned about and experienced God's love for them, so they respond in a similarly generous manner. Now, before I go any further, I'd like to include one cautionary note. When learning about God's principles of generosity, we must beware of the misleading belief, which has been taught by some in recent years, that the more you give to God, the richer you become. This odd doctrine, which, while it's true in some respect that God blesses those who give to him in whatever way, that doesn't mean we'll always have lots of money or an easy life. If that were true, then it would mean that Christians who are poor or who have lost everything through war or natural disaster are being punished by God somehow for their lack of generosity. And this is a monstrous distortion of the truth. Remember Jesus' words here. I truly tell you, Jesus said, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Yes, God does bless those who give, but hard times and persecution also come as part of the mixture. The extreme prosperity gospel, as it's known, is an intellectual cul-de-sac which leads nowhere. Serious warning over. That having been said, what lessons can we learn from these passages? First, that the principle of giving to God has been there right from the start and was a key component of people's duties under the Old Covenant. Secondly, as Jesus so often took this principle and he widened it. He opened up this idea of generosity, freeing people from a mechanical keeping of the law, but replacing it with a requirement which was ultimately tougher, for us to test our own hearts, examine our own motives against the standard of God's own generosity. And St. Paul's teaching follows the same thread. The question of how much we should give is not about obedience to this or that rule, but it's about how we respond to Jesus' generosity to us. There's a very telling phrase in the start of Acts. All the believers were of one mind and one heart. No one claimed any of their possessions were their own. No one claimed any of their possessions were their own. Well, that's a showstopper. And I've deliberately ended the quotation there because the outworking of this principle will be different from person to person and situation to situation. The New Testament church in those early years practiced communal living, pooling everything. And monastic and other Christian communities have done the same since. At other times and in other ages, Christians have worked out the implications in different ways. But the principle remains the same. The attitude of our hearts should be what we have belongs to God. It's not ultimately ours at all. In some of our services, quoting 1 Chronicles 29, we say, all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Getting our hearts right is the important thing, and everything else, thoughts, speech, action, words, work, and wallets, these will all follow. Well, that's a bit of the theory. Now for some practical guidelines on giving. The number one principle, in St. Paul's words, is each of you should give what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. It's between you and God, and it's nobody else's business. Secondly, how much anyone has, of course, has to be related to their ability to pay. Remember, Jesus praised a widow for giving just a couple of coppers because she'd given all she had. Now, what about the tithe? What about this 10% principle? Now, although it's an Old Testament concept and it's no longer a law for us Christians, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it as a starting point. I'm really glad that Katie and I were taught this when we were new Christians before we left university. It meant that when we got married and set up our home, we drew up our budget, including our mortgage, based on 90% of our income. And that meant that giving wasn't too much of a strain. I thoroughly recommend this to any young Christians starting out life today. However, if somebody comes to faith having already got a big mortgage and a family budget that really only just about works as it is, then giving 10% would be much harder. Indeed, probably impossible, at least at first. Sometimes you have to work towards things. This one always makes me smile when I think about it. There's a question I asked early on. I think it's because I was studying economics at the time. I said, okay, 10% giving, is that 10% of gross income or 10% of net income? I thought, I've got the preacher there. And he came back and he said, well, what do you want? Do you want gross blessings or net blessings? No. Well, a punchy response, it didn't really answer the question, but I think it's the sort of thing Jesus might have said, actually. As with all these things, it's between you and God. My personal solution was to do both, actually, to monitor our actual giving as 10% of net income, but also to look at our giving and the associated gift aid as a percentage of gross income. And if that leaves you befuddled, it doesn't matter at all. Next question. Should our giving go all to the church, or should we split it between the church and other good causes? Guess what? It's up to you. Some teachers say one thing, some say the other. Katie and I split ours, but with the majority going to the church. Now, next point is really worth mentioning here. Katie and I are very fortunate in that we're both Christians, but what if your partner isn't? Should you try and insist on giving a substantial amount and have a big row about it? Well, my advice would be not if you want your relationship to last. As with all relationship stuff, you've got to work it out together, not unilaterally. Now, what if you're really broke and couldn't possibly afford to give 10%? Will God condemn you, wag his finger at you? No, of course not. What do you think? It's for you to work out together with your loving Heavenly Father. Now, for other people here, what if you're actually pretty rich? Can you stop giving at 10% and sit back and relax? Nope, doesn't work like that either. 10% is just a starting point, a guideline for beginners. If you've been blessed with riches, great, enjoy them, and enjoy being more generous as well. As St. Paul said to those who God had blessed with wealth, it's so that you can be generous on every occasion. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Right, well, that's a few practical tips, and although I haven't answered every possible question, I know, to be honest, if we try and pin it all down too tightly, we've probably missed the point anyway. It shows we're not asking the right questions. Some of the religious leaders in Jesus' day had codified everything into a phenomenally detailed set of rules, and Jesus was pretty scathing in his criticism of that approach. It all comes down to this. God is generous to us and wants us to be generous in our turn because he wants us to be like him. Neither I nor any other speaker can tell you what you should do in this respect. Even St. Paul didn't do that, and he could be pretty bossy at times. It's up to each of us to decide within our own families, between us and God. Well, that's the general principles, the preacher part of today's talk. And I now want to fill in the local context, adding some facts and figures from my standpoint as St. Mary's and Christ Church treasurer. I don't actually have a treasurer hat, but if I did, I would put it on at this point. The first thing that I want to say as treasurer is a big thank you to all of you. Without your financial support there in the background, this church could not function. Please don't ever think, as some people have actually said to me, oh, my gift isn't very much, I'm sorry. That's just not true. Everything we give him, whether time, caring, money, or whatever, is appreciated by God. Again, St. Paul says, if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have, which is Pretty obvious when you think about it. So thank you all. Secondly, please do plan your giving, as that means we can plan our spending. The Parish Giving Scheme, PGS, is our preferred method of planned giving, and it makes things much simpler for us, particularly for me, actually, as treasurer. 61 of you are now using Parish Giving Scheme, just over half those currently giving monthly, and more are signing up all the time. Thank you to those who have made the switch. If you haven't done so already, forms are available today. And actually, I just checked. Strange enough, it came through from the diocese this week, an email there, with some figures about parish giving across Ely Diocese. Over 700 donors now in 66 churches across the diocese. And I thought, well, if we've got 61 so far, a few more will make us 10% of the people in the diocese who are using parish giving schemes. So that's a great target to aim for. So that's nice to know. Thirdly, a quick mention about this year's budget. We're at near the beginning of this financial year. We're on a calendar year here. The church general spending this year is planned to be £210,000, an increase of about 5% on the comparable amount last year. And in addition, in 2018, we had a small deficit of just under £1,000 on this general budget. Putting these things, two things together, you can see the challenge to each of us when it comes to reviewing our giving this year. Looking ahead a bit further, we have some bigger challenges coming as well. In about 18 months' time, the diocesan support we've got for our family's missioner post will come to an end. It was a 3-year initial funding, so it will be up to us to find the full cost of that post rather than just half of it. So that will add about £10,000 to our budget in about 18 months' time. And post BTP, we will have some additional costs as well. Our vision after the transformation of this building is to have it open much more, which will mean a much more use, a little bit more heating, lighting, and we'll probably need a caretaker post as well, which will add to our costs too. Of course, there'll be other income from the use of the building too, but we have challenges down the line. So that was just to give a bit of context on the budget there. Katie tells me not to go on too much about money because people get bored, so I bear that in mind. Fourthly then, what about our mission and charity causes? Well, for 2019, we've got four good causes we're supporting, and we have a sort of structure to this. So we have, first of all, our Link project, which is a link with a member of our congregation who is working in some Christian mission context. And this year, it's Elisa Pike in Brazil. So that's our Link project. Our second one is an overseas charity, which is To Kenya With Love. And we've got a link actually with that as well. Sally Fry, one of our members here, is a trustee of To Kenya With Love, which is an educational charity working in a school in Kenya. So thirdly, we have a UK charity, which is the Children's Society, or Church of England Children's Society, as I think it used to be called. And fourthly, we have a local charity, which is the CAP Debt Centre. So those are our four for this year. Link Project, Elisa, Overseas Charity, To Kenya With Love, Children's Society, the UK charity, and our local charity, CAP Debt Centre. Overall, in our budget, we aim to give around £20,000, around 10% of our unrestricted and charity income to causes other than ourselves. And I'm going to explain now how this operates. About half of this amount, about half this £20,000, is committed within our regular budget, coming from your general donations, and it's actually being paid each month to these four causes by standing order. The remaining half of this charity and mission money will come, we hope, from donations to these causes and from the various fundraising events we hold. Need to be very clear about this. Every pound given or fundraised in this way will be in addition to the amount we have committed, and it will go directly to the cause. For example, at the end of January, I was able to send Elisa a whopping £950 given by members of this church and another £700 that had come in from outside, all in addition to the regular amount we were giving each month. Wow! Keep up the good work. If you want to contribute to these causes by a bank transfer, please put, for example, St. Mary's Charities on the reference, or Elisa, or To Kenya With Love, or whatever it is, and then I'll know how to pick it up. If you want to give by cheque or cash, Then there are some white envelopes, and in my notes I say one of these ones I've got, no I haven't, but there are some white envelopes over there by the collection box. If you want your money to go to any one of those particular causes, just circle it on the list. And if you want it to go to all the causes, just leave it blank and I'll spread it between them. And do complete the gift aid declaration if you can. It all helps. Every little helps, as they say. Next, a quick word about the building repairs. The scaffolding inside has gone. Hooray! It's gone at last. No more dusting and hoovering each week on a Friday afternoon for the faithful few. Now, the work outside is nearly finished. Not quite, as if any of you who were in that aisle on Sunday last week in the rain will have noticed, yes, there's still water coming in at that point. There's a little bit more to do. Once they've got the top scaffolding down, they're going to just retile the roof a bit and mend that, so that'll be fine. But it's nearly finished. The job was more expensive than we hoped at the beginning, but thanks to the money we'd put aside in recent years each year, thanks to support from some local trusts, some very generous support, thanks to a loan from another charity, and thanks to your terrific response to our appeal in the autumn, over £15,000 was given in a couple of weeks. Amazing. It looks as though we're going to make it on that project. Phew. Over the next few years, we'll need to replay that small loan and rebuild our rather depleted building reserves, but I've planned to make a start to that process in our 2019 budget. And I hope that when we get the I took some pictures up there 10 days ago, it looks super. I must say, we must get the paint. That stonework hopefully will last for centuries, as the original did. All new stone is just great. Okay, that's the building work. Now, what about the BTP? Sounds like the BFG or something, but it's the Building Transformation Project. In the next few weeks, there'll be a chance to hear in detail about our progress with this, so I'm not going to say too much now. I think it's a week on Wednesday. We've got some open sessions on in the morning and the evening, just to report back on how things are going, look at the plans, let you ask questions, talk about the survey and so on. So do come along to one of those if you can. It's mentioned in the pink sheet there. Just want to say another big thank you for this. We had our pledge campaign about 18 months ago, and the total pledge by you now has reached over £275,000. What a lot of money. And about three quarters of this has already been paid over. Brilliant. And together with some previous individual donations and funds from a couple of historic St. Mary's trusts that we had, this has made the total available for the project in round figures £555,000. Over £500,000. Brilliant. So there's only a quarter of a million and all the relevant permissions to go. So we're nearly there. So keep on praying. Particularly pray for all those bodies that misgive permissions that all have funny initials like DAC and SPAB and EH and all these things. Everybody gets a say on this. So keep praying, please. Finally on this section then, I would like to say a little bit about wills and legacy planning. I included a leaflet about legacies in all the thank you letters we've distributed recently. And I know some of you thought, it's a bit strange, I'm only 22. but I decided it was the right thing to do for everybody to get the same leaflet. Now, wills are the last thing any of us want to think about. Sorry, this is a slight pun there. But it's like a famous last words. Dying, my dear doctor, that's the last thing I'll do. but including a donation in your will can make an enormous difference, especially to a project like the building transformation. In addition, depending on your circumstances, there can actually be tax advantages in such charity donations as well, in certain circumstances. Legacies can make a huge difference. Conveniently, again, actually, I got a nice statistic from a Christian organisation recently. Apparently, in 2018, £285 million was given to UK charities through legacies and wills. And that's more than the entire total raised by all 39 Red Nose Days so far in one year. Just a little bit of context there. So it's definitely worth making a will. Please do make a will. Don't put it off. And if you want to include a gift to St. Mary's, well, so much the better. Well, that's a lot to think about, isn't it? So here are just a few headlines to finish with for the year ahead. Firstly, if you currently just give when you think of it, please do consider joining up as a regular giver by PGS, Parish Giving Scheme. Like joining the electoral roll, it can be another way of saying, I'm a member, I'm part of the St. Mary's or Christ Church family. The forms are on the table. Second, if you're already a regular giver, but you don't give through PGS, do consider switching, please. And if it's been a while since you last reviewed your giving, why not do so now? And although you wouldn't be amazed to hear a treasurer saying it, that could mean reducing your gift as well as could mean increasing it. If your circumstances have reduced, then you should consider reducing your giving. That's just common sense. Finally, if you're making or updating your will, consider please making a donation to St. Mary's. However, more important than any of these suggestions, remember the principles that Jesus and Paul outlined. Give what you've decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. That's Paul. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's Jesus. Thank you.